It's The Rush, Ryan and Jay, Toronto Mayor John Tory, our guest, as he is Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5:35. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Nice to have you.
We nice got rid to
of,
here.
We got rid of the big ass thing right before you started there. Just
we listen. We listen.
Thanks a lot. Thank heavens for small mercies.
We figured that was sort of an edict from City Hall, so we decided to get rid of it very quickly. Lots being talked about when it comes to vaccinations, and we're giving more details. We've got more details today about the plan from the province, and when it comes to the vaccine rollout provincially. What are your thoughts when it comes to Toronto? Is our public health unit going to be ready? Do you anticipate any hiccups in the rollout of vaccines here in the city?
Well, look, there'll be hiccups when you're doing what is the largest mass vaccination that's been done in the history of the city or in the history of this country. So, you know, count on the fact there'll be hiccups, because in any large operation, no matter who's running it, private sector, public sector, there are hiccups. I ran a big company and there were plenty of hiccups. So I would just say to you, the answer to your question is yes, the city will be ready. I think we've been trying to keep people up to date, for example, on the establishment of the 9 mass immunization clinics, the first 9. We will be doing many other things. And when you see these different pilots going on, they're all meant to prove out concepts that will have to be done for real very shortly. But understand something else, which is that we operate very much with in partnership with the province, but they're what I call the managing partner. They have the registration and scheduling system that they will operate for all of these vaccinations. They manage the distribution of the vaccine, and they manage the prioritization of who gets vaccinated when. And I think General Hillier, you know, went some distance today to sort of explain better how that timetable is going to unfold, which they set. And I think that's because the most frequently asked question that people have is, well, when is it going to be my turn? And that's a logical question people would ask on something very important.
We're only a couple of days into new quarantine rules at Pearson Airport today, and we're getting news reports out of Mississauga that international travelers arriving at Pearson are bypassing them by just walking out the door or by choosing to take a fine. Peel Police, we reached out today confirming they're not detaining or arresting people who leave the arrival area. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, first of all, I heard about this today, and I wasn't entirely surprised, because I don't know how they can, you know, sort of, I've just seen on television how you have to sort of file your way into some lineup, mm-hmm. Where you then, you know, get tested and so on, and it looked fairly easy to walk by it. I don't frankly know, even though I'm a lawyer, what the deal is in terms of whether the Charter of Rights or whatever actually allows the police, or whether even the law as it's passed allows them to detain people, and I don't know how comfortable we feel about that in this country, but I will say it certainly seems to defeat the purpose of the measures if you can, even if you can take the fine. It's sort of, well, who wouldn't probably take the fine for $750 or something because it's cheaper than the hotel? I mean, when I say who wouldn't, lots of people won't because they know it's not the right thing to do, but at the same time, a lot of people might say, well, for $750 and I get to go home, I'll take that. So clearly that's kind of a flaw in the system, and maybe they'll want to re-examine that.
It's a pretty glaring flaw in the system.
Yeah,
no?
Well, it is. Now, yeah, it's a glaring flaw, except that I suspect, even though the story is a big story, most people, I suspect, are not doing that. I mean, you know, none of the three of us would think about doing such a thing. okay, well, fine. I wouldn't think about doing it, and it's not just because I'm in public life. I mean, it's you know, you just wouldn't do that. But certainly they'll want to re-examine that, and I don't know what the options are. I mean, it's difficult to detain people. I think they're doing that in other countries, though. I think they actually sort of transport you direct to the hotel, do not pass go, you know, in Australia. That's what I've read.
You announced today that Toronto is canceling events through Canada Day. Of course, we don't know, you know, past that, what the future is going to hold. One, how hard of a decision is that to make yet again, second time to do it? And two, I've heard that the CNE is planning to go ahead until they hear otherwise.
Well, on the difficulty of the decision, they're all agonizing. But it's made easier by the fact a lot of organizations who had to make the decisions now to sign contracts for artists or for equipment or various things had made the decision themselves that they couldn't afford to be in a position of uncertainty and end up with these contracts that they then had to pay out on. And so a lot of them had moved, like Pride and so on, to say they were going to be virtual this year anyway, just given the uncertainty. But for the rest of the ones we canceled ourselves today, it was very hard because, you know, we may be in much better shape by then, it's hard to know. But I think you can conclude that a lot of these kinds of, say, Canada Day, I mean, the fun of Canada Day is this cheek by jowl people packed in a Mel Lastman Square to watch fireworks, and that we will not be in a situation where we'll be cheek by jowl doing anything. We may be able to have more crowd scenes of a certain kind, but I don't think they'll be like that. And then with the CNE, I can only say that it's too early to tell. It depends in part, I guess, on what kind of an event they want to have. I mean, to me, part of the fun of being down there is being in a major crowd scene and lined up for the rides and lined up in the food building. And so I just don't think that kind of crowd scene will be back with us for some time, just like sports crowds, Ryan. You know, I can't imagine that we're going to be able to sort of fill up the Rogers Center or the Scotiabank for a while where every seat is full and you're sitting shoulder to shoulder until we've got all the vaccinations done.
We got a text message earlier in the show. It wasn't targeted towards you, but I think it's something that a lot of people feel when they hear, you know, festivities being canceled up until Canada Day at the very least. The question was very, very frank. Is the summer in Toronto going to suck?
I don't think so. Look, I'm an optimist about this, and I was asked a kind of question about that without the word suck in it at the press conference today, and they said, well, does that mean we're still going to be in lockdown? And I said, no, but I think just if you're just being realistic about this in the context of this terrible pandemic we will just be coming out of, hopefully because of vaccination and because of, you know, just the success we've had in fighting it off, we will still not be able to go right back to saying, well, let's have, you know, 50,000 people at Rogers Center, or let's have Canada Day where everybody's packed into a square cheek by jowl. Because I think even the most optimistic of the expert projections say that COVID is going to still be with us to some extent or another, and that we will have to be careful in what we do. So I think it'll be a great summer. We're going to have more of these Cafe TO patios than ever. We're going to have some kind of an active TO program. We're working out the details on that. I think we'll be under fewer restrictions than we are now. I mean, you know, quite a few less restrictions. So I'm an optimist. I think it's going to be a great summer.
People asking at 71010 about certain events this summer as well. Would that include farmers markets and stuff like that? Would they be allowed to be open?
I think they will, because they were last summer subject to some restrictions, and I would hope if things are okay, you know, if we've made some progress between now and summer, and summer's close but not that close, I think that they should be able to be open. We try very hard to keep those things going last year, just because we know that people love to use them, and you know, they're outdoors and so on. So I would think the answer is likely yes, but maybe subject to some you know, rules that are not from peacetime, if I can call it that.
So we're looking at 9 homeless shelters dealing with COVID outbreaks. So a couple of things people are asking: one, what's being done to stop outbreaks, and two, if this is such an issue within homeless shelters, why are we shutting down tiny shelters as this is happening?
I mean, the first question, we have set up an isolation center, and we did that a long time ago, and there's, you know, about 100 people, I think it's slightly more now because of these outbreaks, that go to those isolation centers to recover, so they're kept away from the other people that are clients in the shelter system. We've increased PPE. We have, you know, we're looking at rapid testing pilots. We've limited movement in and out of the shelters because, like in long-term care and hospitals, the more people are moving in and out, the more it creates a risk. And we've actually had a very good track record over the course of the entire pandemic. We shelter more than 6,000, in fact, I think around 7,000 people a night.
Wow.
And not only have we moved 3,000 people into different kinds of housing during the pandemic, but we've also kept the number of these outbreaks actually quite a minimum. On the tiny shelters, the bottom line answer is simply this: they are not safe. That has been opined on by the fire department. They are not healthy. They are not legal, located in parks and public spaces. And what we're trying to do is get people a proper place to go, as opposed to these. But, you know, it's just not, this is not the right answer. Shelters aren't a permanent answer either, but that's why we're trying to move so fast on the supportive housing and the modular housing to create real homes for people where they can get the supports they need, which they do not get in an encampment. And we've had fires, you've seen, some of them have even been fatal. So it's just not the right answer, and God bless the man who is trying to help, and I think he's well motivated, but it is not the right answer. It's not a safe, it's not a healthy, and it's not a legal answer, frankly.
A lot of homeless advocates today are talking, while we're on the subject of it, are talking about what's happening at Union Station, which the city does run outside of some of the things that Metrolinx performs at that place. It's not as busy as it usually would be. Some of the complaints are that benches are overturned and kind of roped off and taped off and are off limits to people who might need to, you know, people who are homeless. This might be surprising to people, but do have devices that might need to be charged. They go in there for warmth. It's been exceptionally cold over the last couple of days. Is the reasoning that these benches are turned over the way they are just because of COVID, so that there is no further spread of it? Is there any thought process perhaps to allowing some of the city's homeless to go in there and use them to warm up for a little while?
Well, we have warming centers that are for that purpose, but I will just say that the benches and how that's all organized has to do with physical distancing. And, I mean, I haven't been to a place where there aren't big signs on benches saying don't sit here, or benches that are closed or roped off. You know, you go on the bus, you go everywhere. This is a common feature, so I don't think Union Station's any different. I can't imagine people are being thrown out for using the plug if they were allowed to do that in previous times, you know, to charge up their phone. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, we have had a couple of security issues down there. I'm not saying that's to do with homeless people or otherwise. There's just been a couple of security issues because, you know, these places are not as busy as they normally are. So it means that trouble causers of one, you know, kind or another sometimes will, you know, are more likely to show up. But I will just say that the bench part is customary with every place just about that's a public place because we don't want people to sit close together.
Toronto Mayor John Tory, as always, we thank you for your time and we'll speak again on Friday.
Thanks very much. We'll look forward to that. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.